Okay. Is everyone there with me? Can you all hear me?
Yes.
Okay. You're all muted, so you can't, so you're not answering. So, okay. Just wanted to make sure you can all hear me. I turned the recording on. This is our teleconference on taming the holiday gimmies. I'm excited that you're all with us. And just to give you an overview of what we're going to be covering today, we're going to start with how our kids are kind of victims of over-commercialization. And many of you may have the handout that I sent out with the email. You can feel free to follow along. We're going to talk about the parents' role in all of this over-commercialization and the whole gimmies thing, how we can help our kids. We're going to talk about going shopping with our kids and preventing that from being the nightmare that it can be. We're going to talk about going shopping for our kids and kind of some of the things we could have in our minds when we go shopping. We're going to talk about teaching our kids gratitude. We're going to talk about teaching our kids giving during this holiday season and all the joy that can bring. We're also going to be talking about gracious receiving. I'm sure you all have had that nightmare of, I didn't want this one, or I've already got this one, and we're going to talk about how to handle that. And then we're going to have time for questions and answers. So, again, if anybody has any questions or would like clarification on what I'm talking about in the moment, please feel free to unmute your line, star 6, and I'll be happy to clarify, and then we will hold off other general questions and answers for the end. So let's get started, and we'll talk about some of the images that our kids see. Our kids are watching television, they're watching video games, they're driving down the street, there are billboards, they're in stores, there are images coming at them from all over the place. And I don't know if any of you have noticed, it has become so commercialized. If any of you have been to Disney World, for example, I was so appalled at the fact that every time you walk off of a ride, the exit leads directly into a store. And that can be an incredibly frustrating experience because, you know, if you have a 3-year-old or a 4-year-old, they don't understand that we're not buying something at the end of every ride. And so there are all these images coming at them of things and stuff and all these things. I want it, I want it, I want it. And it's really hard to control all that. We don't even realize that in movies, in video games, on television, there's product placement going on all the time. So our kids are being bombarded and they don't even know it. We may not even be aware of it. In stores, the way things are placed at kid eye level, those kinds of things, our kids are being bombarded all the time. And it's our job to teach them how to control that and to teach them the values involved in not getting those gimmies. And it's not just in the holiday time. It's really year-round how to teach our kids about gratitude and how to kind of tame all of this. So we are going to talk about lots of different ways to do that. But it's really important that if we're sitting and we're watching TV with our kids, that we say, wow, look at that. I don't know. American Idol comes to mind, actually. There are Coca-Cola images all over. All of the judges have Coca-Cola cups in front of them. There's a huge Coca-Cola sign. It's all commercial. Even, you know, the Staples Center, that's the name of a company. It used to be the Universal Amphitheater. No, now it's the Gibson Amphitheater. So every title of anything has the name of a company. We are being sold, and there are commercials in our faces all the time. So if we can say to our kids, wow, look at that. They're just telling us about, you know, about a concert, and here we're being sold all the time. And so we have to really desensitize our kids, or sensitize them, rather, and let them know, do you see what's going on here? They're trying to sell us something, and we have to remember that this is really like a commercial, and that doesn't mean that we have to buy something every time that we see it, or every time that you see something you like doesn't mean that we have to say, oh, I want that, I want that. So we have to be able to teach our kids and say, be aware of what's going on around you, and it's not necessarily a good thing, and make them aware of that. We also have to help our kids by saying no to them. And there are ways of saying no that won't be so frustrating. A lot of parents say to me frequently, I'm so tired of saying no to my kids all the time. And at the end of the day, you feel like you've said no 8,000 times. So we don't want to just say no. Sometimes we want to say, yes, but not now. How about if we put it on your holiday list? How about if you put it on your birthday list? I'm really lucky. My kids' birthdays are pretty much across the year from holiday time. So if it's not on their Hanukkah list, then I'm telling them to put it on their birthday list so that I'm not constantly saying, no, no, no. I say, oh, wow, that's great. That's something that you want. Good to know. So those kinds of things. Or, wow, you really want that, don't you? How about if we start saving up and we can give them little jobs around the house and let them work for things? So the answer isn't always no. The answer might be yes, but not right now. Or yes, but let's find another way to pay for it. And to let our kids know. It's also really important right now during this economy. A lot of people are really affected, whether they're losing their jobs, their homes are affected. And for those of us who are lucky enough that we still have our jobs and we still have our homes, there's still a trickle-down effect. A lot of people have lost money in the stock market. People have friends and family members who are really affected. And, you know, if you're not feeling it yet, eventually you may. And so it's really important for us to educate our kids and let them know, you know, our economy is really going through something right now. And as a result of that, we need to make some very, very conservative decisions. And it's okay to let our kids know, not to worry them that they're going to have to worry where their next meal is coming from. We would never want to add anxiety or pressure to our kids' shoulders. But what we do want to do is make them aware that things are different now, and we do need to think about things. Even in my husband's company, thankfully he has a job, I'm very grateful, but things, they're having to really cut back because they're losing business, and it's all a trickle-down effect. When big business has, there's impact down to little business as it trickles down because there isn't as much business rolling in. So even my husband's company, they're talking about payroll cutbacks in the new year. So again, that means our holiday is going to have to be a little bit more conservative and pulled back, more so this year than ever. So another question I want you to ask yourself is, what kind of a role model are you about things, about shopping? Do you talk about things when you're watching TV? Ooh, I want to get that. Ooh, I should order that. Ooh, I want to look that up. Those kinds of things. Sometimes we're not even aware of the words that we're saying and the impact it's having. Our kids are watching us, and they are little sponges all the time. So we have to be aware of, if we are having the gimmies ourselves, and even if we know in our minds, oh, I'm not going to buy that, I'm just looking, I'm just talking about it, our kids don't know the difference. So we need to be very sensitive about how we're talking about things. And, you know, I always say to my kids, you know, I have a job, so it's okay for me to buy a new pair of shoes or whatever it is. But we have to be aware, if we're constantly talking about stuff and things like that, then what we're communicating to our kids is that stuff is really important to us. So let's be really aware of what we're saying, how we're talking to our kids, and focus on the things that you want them to know are important to you. For me, that would be values. That would be relationships. That would be family. So we're already making plans for our holiday time when my kids are off of school and how we're going to spend that time with friends and family. So share those things with your kids and make sure that your words reflect your values. Another thing that's really important is to redefine the word need. I don't know about you guys, but my kids will say, but Mommy, I need it. They just think that they'll die if they don't have the newest, greatest, latest toy, electronic, whatever it is. And so we need to say to our kids, maybe you don't need it, but you'd really want it. You really would like to have it, wouldn't you? And just redefine it for them, reframe it for them so that they learn to differentiate the difference between need and not necessarily greed, but want. So that's an important thing. Okay, so let's go now and talk about going shopping with your kids. The first thing we have to do is to be proactive. Don't take your kids if you don't absolutely have to, although taking them with you can be a great educational experience. I don't want you to avoid it. But be aware that you don't want to go when it's nap time. You don't want to go when they're hungry. You want to set yourself and your kids up for success before you go shopping. So make sure they're well fed, they're well rested. It's a good time of day. Going on the weekends right now, if you can go during the week, it's obviously going to be way better than going on the weekends when everybody's in the stores, although I know a lot of people work. So, you know, you might want to pick and choose your days and times of going to minimize the time of waiting in line, or bring toys with you, bring things to distract your kids to help them stay with you. Another way to help them really be cooperative during the shopping process would be to let them be a part of it. Teach them, say, look, here's our list. Here's who we're going to shop for today. Let them know that you're really excited about buying that gift for Grandma, or you are really excited, you know, Daddy really wants that new shaver or whatever it is, and that you're really excited about sharing that gift with that family member or that friend or neighbor or whatever it is. But teach them the joy of giving. You also want to be really proactive in letting them know today's not going to be a shopping day for you. Today is going to be a shopping day for, and then name off some of the people you're planning to buy gifts for. Let them know, if you see something you like, I'd love to hear about it, but that doesn't mean we're going to be buying anything for you today. And then it also can be really helpful because you can take note in your head, and that can be something you can go back and get for your child another time. I like going shopping with my kids because it does give me a sense of what they want, especially as they get older. They're harder to buy for. Give your kids the words. If they see something they do like, you don't want to constantly, you know, be getting mad at them or frustrated with them. What you want to be saying to your kids is, I'm really glad you like that. But I don't want to hear, Mommy, I want it. I need it. Please, can you get it for me? Tell them, I'm not going to be listening to that. Here's what you need to say to me if you see something you like. Mommy, isn't this cool? Mommy, this is the prettiest doll I've ever seen. Those kinds of things. Give them the statements that you would love to hear that aren't going to put you off and frustrate you and annoy you, but are informative, and then you can say, wow, that really is a cool thing. And you can share in their joy, and then it doesn't become a power struggle. So that's really the idea, is to avoid that power struggle in the store and the tantrum and the meltdown and the, but I want it now. So the more proactive you can be, the better off and the more successful your shopping trip is going to be. Okay, going ahead, we're going to talk now about going shopping for your kids. Again, if anybody has any questions or would like clarification, feel free to unmute your line and ask me. The code again is *6. So going shopping for your kids. Just because you were at a play date or you were in a play group or at a gym class or something like that and your kid played with this really neat toy or at a friend's house and you know that they were just completely in love with it. Yeah, sometimes that's a great tool to tell you what you want to get your kid for the holidays. But you also want to know that it's okay for your kids to really like something and not have it at home. I can't tell you how many times, not only in my own experience, but in hearing stories from other people, my kid will play with something and totally love it at someone else's house, and then I'll buy it because I think, oh, she's going to love it. And then once it's at my house, the novelty is gone. So keeping the novelty in toys is really a neat thing to do. And it also makes kids appreciate things. It makes them appreciate, wow, I have something different than my friend has, or, wow, you know, it helps them to not constantly have every wish come true or every toy they've ever liked to appear in their house. That, to me, teaches them overindulgence, and it teaches them that wanting isn't a good thing. And it's okay to want. It doesn't mean all of our dreams have to come true in order for us to feel fulfilled on the inside. So that's really, really important. You also, as a parent, want to be sure to keep your head on straight about it. You don't want to overdo it when you're shopping. It would be really easy for me, you know, going to Toys R Us or going to a clothing store or something. Oh, this is so cute. Oh, my daughter would just die without this. You know, and really we become more a part of the problem than our kids oftentimes. So we want to really pull back. You know, rather than if they love Barbies, let's say, then we don't need to get them every cool Barbie there is. Get one Barbie and let her appreciate that Barbie. Or if our little boy loves cars, so we can get one or two cars, or maybe they need a whole bunch to make a race or a parking lot or whatever it is, but they don't need to have 100 cars. That's just too much. And then what happens is it desensitizes them to the joy of the toys. And we want to teach them an appreciation. So don't overdo it when you're shopping. It's okay if your kid doesn't have all of the latest and greatest. You also want to be practical. For us, we celebrate Hanukkah. And so for our family, we have 8 nights, and we do gifts each night of the holiday. Well, as my kids have gotten older, of course, they like more expensive gifts. So some nights are things that you might not be too excited about opening, like pajamas, socks, and underwear. Of course, they need it anyway. But what a great idea for it to be a gift, for them to have something that's practical as well. Some families I also know, you take one night of Hanukkah and will devote it to charity. So you can say to your kids, and you can even do this around Christmas as well, and that is to say, one gift that you might have gotten, we're going to give to charity. And you can take your kids with you, and we're going to talk about that a little bit when we talk about gratitude and the joy of giving. But it's also okay for not every gift has to be the end-all, be-all of gifts. But that's kind of the moderation that I'm trying to get that point across. Another thing is that we can delay our kids' gratification. It's such an important tool that we can give our kids. They actually did a study of people in prison. I know this sounds crazy. Our kids aren't going to end up in prison. But people who were in prison actually had a harder time with the delayed gratification. So we really want to give our kids the gift of delaying their gratification. If they want something, sometimes we need to make them wait for it because it gives them an added appreciation for it. And it also teaches them patience. It teaches them to wait. And it teaches them that the world doesn't revolve around them 24/7, which is a really important thing for us to teach our kids. Okay, so now we are going to move on to teaching gratitude. Such an important piece. And I talk about this a lot whenever I talk to families. And the first thing that I teach parents is to talk about, to really make a distinction between inside stuff and outside stuff. Outside stuff would be anything materialistic, anything concrete that you can touch. That would be toys and games and video games and DVDs and whatever it is. That's all outside stuff. Inside stuff would be how we feel. Inside stuff is about our relationships. It's about our feeling about being together as a family. It's about our friends. All of that stuff, our values, how we grow up when we have to wait for something or when we earn the money for something and we feel proud of ourselves. That's a great combination of inside stuff and outside stuff put together. So we want to really make a distinction and realize when we may be overemphasizing outside stuff. And when our kids may be overemphasizing outside stuff, then it would be our job to help them balance out and to help them to focus on inside stuff. So there are ways of doing that. One of the rituals that I like to do a lot with my 8-year-old especially, because my teenagers don't really want to hear about it, and that is every night before we go to bed, we have our little snuggle time, and I always say, what do you want to say thank you to God for tonight? So if you're not a religious person, you don't have to say God. You can just say, what are you grateful for? And teaching gratitude is actually known to be what we call a depression buster. It makes people more optimistic because what they're doing is they're focusing on what they do have, not all that they don't have. And I really think our society has become focus on all that we don't have. We're always striving for more. We're living the American dream. We want a bigger house. We want a fancier car. We want better toys. We want more clothes. We want all that stuff that we want. And we work hard all the time in order to get stuff. But we really need to balance it out for our kids and to focus on the inside stuff and to say to them, wow, you know what I'm so grateful for today? I am grateful that my body is healthy. I'm grateful that we have a roof over our heads and food on our table and family who loves us. Our Thanksgiving holiday last week was so much fun. I can't even tell you. We really had lots of family around. And Thanksgiving night, we had so many people sleep over. We actually had 9 people sleeping over in my house who don't typically live here. So there were 14 of us. And it was so much fun. And after the fact, after everybody was gone and we were kind of cleaning up, getting the house back together, I kept saying, wasn't this fun? Wasn't it so neat to have family around us and that family wanted to be with us? And just really showing all the things I was grateful for in the hopes that my kids, it sinks in a little bit. You never know what's going to actually get in. So be sure to balance. When your kids are focusing too much on outside stuff, you help them remember about the inside stuff and the things that help them grow up on the inside. And that means waiting, being patient, being kind to others, all those things help kids grow up on the inside. We also have to model that appreciation for the things we have. Sometimes my kids will say to me, so Mom, what's going to be the next car you're going to get? And I love to say to them, you know what, I am so grateful for the car that I have. Don't think that when I'm driving down the street, I'm not thinking, ooh, that's a cool car. I have to go look at that one, because I like stuff too. But I also want my kids to know how grateful I am for the things that I already have. So that's really important. Okay, so some actions that you can do in order to model teaching gratitude. You can do giving behaviors. There are lots of things that you can do. I like to take my kids shopping and have them pick out a toy, and we go donate it and drop it off at the Toys for Tots kind of barrel, whatever it is. I'm sure every community has some sort of community toy drive or clothing drive. They have organizations that collect coats for the homeless and blankets during the winter time. They're saying now that the food banks are actually low on inventory now because more and more families are needing to tap into it than ever before. Because of this recession, there are families who were typical middle-class families who are now having to shop at food banks because they don't have the money for groceries. So we can teach our kids that there are a lot of people who are losing their jobs and that if we have some extra money that we can buy a few extra things at the grocery store and donate those things to families who aren't as lucky as we are. And even families who don't have a lot, you can give a little bit, and it teaches gratitude, it teaches appreciation, it teaches our kids that there are people out there who have less than we have and that we are so grateful for what we do have and that we have a responsibility to our community to help others who maybe aren't doing as well. You can talk about who might be receiving those gifts, but what the families might feel like to have that extra food in their pantry, or what it might feel like for that homeless person to have a coat and things like that, and how grateful that person might feel. And that models for our kids the joy of giving, because then we have a good feeling about ourselves, about what we've given in the hopes that we've given a good feeling to someone else. And that's really, again, what helps our kids grow up a little bit on the inside. We're teaching them appreciation. Okay. Again, if there's any desire for clarification, feel free to let me know. Otherwise, I'm just going to keep plugging along here. So another way to teach our kids the joy of giving is that we don't always have to go shopping for gifts. I think some of the greatest gifts we can receive are homemade, and especially when it comes to kids. If my kids write a love note to my parents or to any of their grandparents, those gifts are so appreciated and so loved. And so that might be something you can really help your kids be creative about. They can draw pictures for grandparents. They can make handprints on a T-shirt or on a pot holder, or some of it may sound silly, but it might be something that simple as just putting a little paint on your hand and on your child's hand and imprinting it on something, even on paper, and then writing their name and giving that to Grandma for Christmas. What a great gift. What a wonderful memento that lets them know, and it doesn't cost anything. So that's the other side of it, that we can teach our kids about giving and say, you know, we give and it doesn't have to cost a lot of money. So, okay. I can hear a baby, which I love babies.
Sorry.
Hit *6 to mute your line. There you go. Thank you so much. So one of the gifts also that I put in here in this handout, if you guys are looking at it, is one of the gifts that we gave to my mom for her birthday 1 year. I literally went and bought like a recipe box, and we decorated it. It was, you know, like at Michael's, so it was one of those bare ones. And my kids decorated it, and I got index cards. And we wrote on the index cards all the things we loved about Nanny. And some of it were, you know, jokes, things that she has said that were funny in the past. Sometimes it's just, we love when Nanny comes over for dinner. We love when Nanny, you know, whatever it is, something special that your kids remember about a grandparent or an aunt or uncle, or even, you know, you can do it for the other parent, that kind of thing. It is such a touching gift, and that's something that my mom still says that she treasures so much, this box of thoughts, of things that we love about her, and that she can go through it and look at it any time and remember how much we love her. So again, it doesn't have to cost a lot of money. You just have to put a little bit of thought and a little bit of effort into it, and you can make some incredible gifts that teach your kids about values, because you're not necessarily spending a lot of money, but spending your time is worth so much and really teaches kids some great lessons. The greatest gifts don't have to be bought. Another thing is modeling giving. In your relationship, in your marriage, if you are, a lot of people, you know, are saying, oh, I don't want to give my husband a gift or my wife a gift because we're remodeling the house, or we're, you know, we're spending money on other things, too much money on everyone else, so we're not going to buy for each other. So I say, I get that. Everybody has, you know, their priorities, no problem. I say the same thing, don't get me anything. But at the same time, wouldn't a love note be a great gift, and wrap it in a box, and there, then you're modeling that holiday time is a great time to not only give stuff, but to also express your feelings and to share your appreciation for your relationship all year long. And what a great excuse to just write a love note and present it in a cute, fun way. That's a great thing. Or you can bake for friends or family. Baking cookies, that kind of thing is a great thing. Sometimes I'll bake cookies and buy a bunch of pretty plates and deliver them to my neighbors, that kind of thing. I'm not Martha Stewart, so a lot of my ideas, I'm sure, are not nearly as creative as a lot of you may have. But just to do a little something that shows you're thinking about somebody is such a great thing to model for your kids. And let them know that you're doing that. You know, a lot of people are really thoughtful of others, but their kids don't see them doing it. Make sure that they hear you. Make sure that they see you. Make sure they go with you to deliver those gifts. Again, that teaches them the joy of giving. And another thing is to remember that your time and spending time together is very much a gift that you can give to somebody else. So you can write a coupon for dinner. You know, I'll cook you dinner, or I'll take you to lunch, or coffee time, or something like that for a friend. It doesn't have to cost a lot of money. You can be creative in how you present it. And again, it doesn't have to break the bank, and it teaches your kids that that your time is also of value. So getting together with your kids and making rituals for the holidays is a really important way of giving your time and sharing this holiday season with them, baking cookies or cakes, wrapping gifts together. I will let my kids help me wrap gifts, and even my 8-year-old who doesn't do the neatest job, it's okay because she's participating, and it makes her really have buy-in into the holiday because she'll see the results of how she's helped, and it makes her feel so good. No amount of money can replace that. So, okay, so on to being gracious under pressure. What if your child opens a gift and they say, "Ugh, I didn't want this one. I already have this one." How embarrassing is that, right? Especially if the person is around. So this is also a problem at birthday time, which is why I don't like my kids opening gifts at their party. But if you can be proactive and talk to your child about being gracious, and that sometimes you're going to get a gift that wasn't your favorite, or sometimes you're going to get a gift that you already have, and we have to also keep in mind that somebody took time to go get that gift for us. Somebody spent their money, their hard-earned money, to buy that gift for us, and so we still need to show our gratitude. and say, thank you so much. This was so nice. And the fact that you already have it means it's something that you wanted once or that you liked or that that means that it reminded them of you and that they were accurate with that gift. So we want to teach our kids how to be gracious and to say, wow, I love this thing so much that I already got one. Thank you so much. You know, I mean, they don't have to say it that way, but we want to teach our kids how to say thank you so much and kind of filter out maybe some of the words that they don't need to say in addition. They don't need to say, I already have one of these. But if they do, they can say it in a very gracious way and always say thank you. We want our kids to understand what it feels like when you're the receiver to be compassionate for the giver and what that might feel like. So we would never want to hurt the giver's feelings by being insulting about the gift. So we teach, that's how, one way that we teach compassion to our kids. So such a great idea. So I actually have plowed through all of my material faster than I actually thought. And if you have any questions, please feel free to hit *6 to unmute your phone. I would love, or if you have any great suggestions of things that you've done to teach your kids about gratitude and giving and anything like that, I'd love to hear what you guys have in your heads.
I have a question, Betty, about what you just
sure.
said about saying thank you.
Uh-huh.
I had a situation when my daughter turned 3. My sister gave her pajamas or something, and she's like, oh, I don't want this. So what do you say in the moment when it's like a little 3-year-old or 3.5-year-old to kind of diffuse that situation?
Okay, that's a great question. Thank you for asking it. I think that the first thing you can say is, oh, we don't say that. We always say thank you when we get a gift. But in order for us to think clearly about what do we want our kids to say, we have to put our own ego aside and not allow our embarrassment to immobilize us. Because that's really one of the things that I see happen all the time, that we can just be so horrified that our child said that we become anxious. Oh, my gosh, I can't believe, you know. And then we can't even think clearly. So if you can, number one, put your ego aside and your fears aside as much as possible and model for your child what you wish she had said. So if you say to her, what I first want you to say is, no, when we open a gift, we always say thank you because Auntie so-and-so went and bought you a present. Wasn't that so nice? And so you're teaching the value of, like I was saying before, that somebody spent the time and the money. Of course, she's 3. She doesn't get all that. But you want to give her the words that you wish she had said. And you say, oh, when we open a gift, we always say thank you so much. And then after the fact, when other people aren't in the room, you can say to her in a quieter time. And, you know, we also have to remember when kids are opening gifts, it's very overwhelming for them, especially at 3 years old, 2 years old, 4 years old. When they're really little, all of the stimulation from whether it's a birthday party or a holiday party and Christmas morning, my gosh, imagine all the excitement, all the anticipation all year long. Kids get overwhelmed really easily. So we have to be able to help them filter out, give them the words that we want to teach them how to say, get over our own fear and anxiety that we're going to be judged as a parent, and in a quieter time, talk to them about, you know, when you get a gift, even if it's not what you wanted, we always say thank you. And even if you didn't want it, we don't tell the person that. And we let them know. And as they get older, of course, they're going to understand more and more. But you definitely want to give her the words that you wish she had said. I hope that answered your question. That's the long answer. Any other questions, thoughts? Love to hear any ideas you guys have.
I have a question about,
sure.
Again, at that 3-4-year-old level, how you can define the difference between want and need kind of in their terms, because I, you know, as you've already said, they often say, I want it.
I need it.
And,
yes.
You know, their emotions are real and their feelings are real and they're convinced of that. But how?
And it feels so strong for them.
Yeah, but how can you, you know, as a grown-up person, kind of explain in their terms, yeah, there's a lot of things I want to, but...
They don't want to hear that, right?
Yeah, right.
Well, I think the most important thing that we can do is have compassion for that and say to them, I know you really want that, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
And just let them know, I get it, I hear you. Then they feel understood,
mm-hmm.
and they know that you are hearing them, so they don't have to repeat themselves over and over. And you can say, you really want that so much, don't you? I know. It's really hard when you can't have everything that you want.
And just leave it at that.
And just leave it at that. And
okay.
Some kids may not leave it at that. There are lots of very perseverant kids out there. And so what you can do is first be really compassionate
mm-hmm.
and feel their pain with them and tell them you get it. And then let them know if they've crossed the line and say, you know what, I hear that you really want this, but we've been talking about this for a long time now.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have to also teach them about recovery and that sometimes it's time to stop talking about it.
Right.
And so then we can do what I call respectful ignoring.
Mm-hmm.
And it's respectful because we warn them in advance we're going to ignore them. And we say, you know, I really know you want that toy, and that's really important to you. I hear you. But we're not going to buy it right now. So if you keep talking about it, I'm just going to tune you out, or I'm not going to listen to this anymore. I've heard enough. Because sometimes our kids can push us and push us and push us past the point of, you know, and then we scream and, you know, we do things that we don't want to do. But rather than screaming and losing it with our kids, which is really just following them down the rabbit hole, what we want to do is maintain our own composure and say to them, I really get your pain, but I'm done listening to this right now. I know this is really hard for you, but you need to go work this out on your own. And it's hard to do, but it really teaches them that it's enough. Enough is enough.
And I just had one other comment sort of related to that, and that is I think I may have been doing my kids a disservice by allowing them to get one small toy, I'll say. If you can have a small, like if we go to Target, for example, there's those dollar bins, and I say you can pick one thing out of the dollar bin, kind of equating, but they're still getting something. So I don't know if I'm doing them a disservice by allowing them, you know, to still get something, even though it's not an expensive thing, it's still a thing. Am I doing them a disservice?
Well, you know, I'd have a lot of nerve to tell you what to do, but I will say that I don't know how old your kids are.
They're 6 and 3.
Okay, so when they're really little, I don't like it at any age, to be perfectly honest with you, because it does teach them that every time they go to the store, they get something.
Right, right.
And they don't really distinguish between a $1 toy and a $10 toy.
Right.
Or a $20 toy even. They they don't care. All they know is they see something they like. You know, sometimes they think if it's bigger, it's more expensive, and if it's smaller, it's not, and that's not always the case.
Right, right.
So they don't have a sense of the value of money.
Mm-hmm.
So you might, you know, especially with your six-year-old, now would be a great time, but because your three-year-old is there too, you can't buy something for one and not for the other.
Right.
So now is a really good time for you to begin to warn them in advance before you even go into the store.
Mm-hmm.
Just so you know, today we are buying a birthday present for Bobby.
Mm-hmm.
We are not picking out any toys for you guys.
Okay.
Are we clear? Did everybody hear? What did I just say? Have them repeat it back so you know they heard you.
Yeah.
And then when they see something in the store that they really want, then you can say, I know, but remember what we talked about?
Mm-hmm.
Today is not a day for you. Let's go find something Bobby would really like.
Right.
And then really emphasize the giving part to Bobby.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
It does.
Mm-hmm. And have compassion for how hard it is, especially at the beginning, because they're going to say, but wait a minute, this dollar bin was for usually where I got to pick.
Right.
I know, but we're not doing that today.
Yeah.
I know it's hard. Lots of compassion. Don't lose it.
Okay.
Okay?
Got it.
Okay, great. Any other questions? Or thoughts?
Betty, I had a question for you.
Please.
It's Karen. So I've been going through my kids are. I would prefer that they don't watch commercials when they're watching their shows, but sometimes they do, and so I want that. So I had them start to make a list.
Great.
And I have a 6-year-old and a 4-year-old, so I have the 6-year-old helping the 4-year-old write her list, you know, doing that together. The things on the list are probably not things I'm going to buy.
Great.
And so I'm thinking about how to manage their expectations, and they've given me this list of all sorts of things we've seen on TV. We're probably not going to buy any of them. So I'm wondering, you know, what that teaches them about writing a list, excuse me, if I honor it for them, and, you know, how to sort of wrangle that.
Interesting. There are a couple ways that I would approach this. First of all, proactively, I would say before they give you the list, when you know they're making a list, you can always say to your kids, just so you know, just because it's on the list doesn't mean I'm going to buy it. Okay, I always give myself an out. Okay, but you may also want to look at your own rules, or you can say to them up front, I don't buy things that we see on TV. And then you can eliminate the list thing.
Yeah.
I'm sorry?
I do say that, and they've gone so much, but they've seen so much stuff, and I sort of went on the, okay, well, we don't usually, but let's make a list, you know, the thing. So I'm not sure if I've stepped the wrong place with that one.
Well, you know, I wouldn't want you to give them false hope, but at the same time, making a list is always a really healthy tool, because then instead of the begging thing, you know, expecting you to get it to them now, what it does is it teaches them patience, it teaches them that delayed gratification, which is so, so important. And, you know, you might also want to look at your rules. See, sometimes my kids have seen things on TV and they'll ask for it because they've just seen the commercial, and out of sight, out of mind, then they never mention it again. Then I'm very unlikely to buy it. But there have been a couple of things that my kids have seen on TV that they talk about over and over and over, not because they're seeing the commercial. Like, my test is always, if they're still thinking about it later, then maybe that's something they really want. And if it's not offensive, like I'm going to have little beads or paint all over my carpet, then it might be something that I'm willing to stretch that rule for and say, you know, she's really been talking about this a lot, or he, then, you know, maybe I will think about getting that one. You know, I always say, determine what I get my kids based on how many times they've asked for the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
And that sounds silly, but it means that they want it most of all. If they've really talked about it a lot in many different settings and contexts, you know, it's kind of like how I decide what to buy for myself. Sometimes I'll look at, you know, an article of clothing in a store and I'll think, that's really cute. And then I'll test myself and say, you know, if I'm still thinking about it tomorrow, I'll come back and get it. Kind of, it, you know, may sound kind of silly, but it's like it teaches you a degree. It's not just that they're liking it because it's in their face for that second. That's when they can put it on a list. But
yeah, that I can work with, because I agree with, if it's something that is important. It's not just everything they've seen, but I figured I would sort of have them prioritize and go through and see, okay, you've given me all these things. Which is the most special? You know, which is really great? And then see where we can go.
That's a great idea. And again, as adults, we still have to make judgment calls. There have been things on TV that my kids have become totally obsessed about, and they want it, and they'll die without it. They've got to have it. And I've done research online and read, you know, there are like reviews and things you can read, excuse me, by other people who have bought that product, and it'll say, ugh, it wasn't at all what I thought it was going to be, or the stuff fell apart quickly. And so I still have to make an adult decision about the things I'm buying for my kids. Is this a good idea? Is this really what it claims to be? Is it really? So you have to do your research as an adult, because kids just think, you know, commercials are great. They're brilliant. They make everything look so cool. And, like, you can become the most unbelievable artist if you just buy this one kit. And in reality, we have to filter those things for our kids, because we have an understanding of the world that our kids don't. So, again, you know, what we buy our kids is going to determine on a whole lot of filters that we have to put those gifts through. So that's kind of my take on it.
Betty,
yeah.
I have a question.
Sure.
What's
this?
This is Deborah.
Hi, Deborah.
Hi. I have a whole bunch of other kinds of issues going on with an unemployed husband and financial issues. This is probably a setup, you know, for you, but can I hire you for just one session, or do I have to commit to a regular coaching schedule? if I want to have an hour of your brain and time, how would that work?
I absolutely could work with you on an as-needed basis in my office, and we certainly could set up an appointment, whatever you wanted to do.
Okay, so you're flexible about how you work with people.
Yes, I'm definitely flexible. Everybody has different needs, and I try to work with every family. And by the way, Deborah, thank you. You get a public shout-out for thank you for the suggestion for this teleclass.
Well, Betty, just for the audience, Betty and I were having lunch one day, and this has been an issue for me, and I said, I think other people would want to hear about it, so I'm delighted to hear how successful this call has been.
Thank you
yes,
so much.
Yes, it's been great. I have one question for you, Betty. Our daughter's 14. This is White.
Oh, thank you. Okay.
Our daughter's 14 months old, and our problem is with the family, mostly grandparents, wanting to buy her everything.
Yeah.
So she just had her first birthday, and we got so many gifts. I mean, we're still living off of clothes and gifts that we got from the baby shower.
Mm-hmm.
Closet space is full. We've got storage bins labeled up to 2 years with clothes. And Grandma just wants to keep buying. And when we say no gifts for Christmas, why don't you contribute to a college fund or let's do a family pool and do a donation to a great charity? She thinks it's like we're asking for money, and she just really wants to buy gifts for our daughter. And she kind of doesn't get it, you know.
Yes.
And we know she loves her, but we really are kind of like, no more gifts.
Okay. So I have two opinions on this. And I totally agree with you. Wouldn't it be great if they would just start a college fund, and then you wouldn't have to worry about it?
Yeah.
However, you know, a lot of people wait a long time to become grandparents, and they fantasize for many years about shopping for those grandchildren. So you have to be a little bit sensitive to that, too, and say, okay, how about, you know, one gift or two gifts, and take the rest of the money you might have spent and start a college fund for her. Or, you know, you kind of got to give a little and then also ask for, and you can say, you know, our house is just overrun with so much stuff. She's the luckiest baby on the planet. You've been so generous, and others have been so generous, you know, since before she was born.
Right.
What I'd like, you know, I don't want to deprive you of buying cute little girly clothes, but I also, you know, it's not meaningful to her yet. So
right.
Wouldn't it be great if you could also help us long term? You know, even
right.
A savings fund is something that some of them don't mature for like 18 years, which for a baby is perfect, because that would be money that would become available to her when she's ready for college.
Right.
So, you know, if you could say it graciously rather than frustratingly and have compassion for what it's like to be a grandma for the first time and all of that stuff, I think that you guys will definitely be able to find some place in the middle. A lot of grandparents don't listen. I get that complaint a lot.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's because what we're asking of them is unreasonable. And sometimes they're just unreasonable, but more times than not, I think that we have to be reasonable in our requests.
Right.
As well. So Thanks. Good luck with that. Any other questions or thoughts?
I have one. It's Mary.
Hi, Mary.
I have Betty, twins that are seven, well, they'll be seven tomorrow, and one nine-year-old. And we
birthday.
Do through our church this ministry where we feed the homeless at this shelter. And at this time of year, we do these bags. Like our whole Sunday school does these bags that we put together, like care packages for the homeless, and we go give them out. So we're in the middle of this project, and we went shopping with some friends to Target to pick out all the stuff for these 150 bags that we're making. And my other kids can't wait to get there and give them out. And I have one seven-year-old that is, he wants nothing to do. I mean, he wanted to pick stuff out and be a part of it, but he wants nothing to do with going to actually give them out.
Mm-hmm.
I'm wondering, do you say, well, we're going as a family, you're coming with us, or do you not push that because you don't want it to be a bad experience? And but I talked to him about his feelings, why. He just says they freak him out, and that's probably it. But I don't want him to be so, you know.
Okay, so that's actually a really good question.
You get my question.
Huh?
You get my question.
I totally get your question.
Okay.
And tell me if I'm totally off base with my answer. But here's my thought on this. And that is that a lot of kids, you know, they hear about needy families or they hear about kids who don't have much, and they get this image in their mind that isn't at all realistic.
Mm-hmm.
Instead, they create monsters in their heads, like,
mm-hmm.
oh, if they're poor, maybe they're dirty and they're gross and
right.
they're, you know, and maybe they have judgments that are not at all accurate and certainly not compassionate.
Sure.
but when they're young, they're just kids and they're afraid of the unknown.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's our job to redraw the image in his mind. But before we can do that, we have to have compassion for the image that is there.
Mm-hmm.
So if you can sort of read his mind and say to him, does it scare you to go give those bags to those kids? What scares you? You know, he's 7. He should be articulate enough.
Right, you just want to talk about it because I tried to, but I didn't start out by being compassionate.
Okay, so that's why he probably doesn't want to talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
So something about it scares him. So in
mm-hmm.
a happy moment, in a loving, gushy moment that
mm-hmm.
you might have with him, that would be a good time when you're holding him and you're close and he's feeling safe to say, is something about that scaring you? Are you afraid of something? And he may not be able to articulate it. He is still pretty young.
Mm-hmm.
You might want to, you know, venture a guess and say, does it scare you that those kids are different from other kids, or something like that. You know, try to be as general as possible in the hopes that you're actually going to capture what he's fearing. And you can say, you know, that's okay. And you might even give him an out of, if you're scared, then, you know, Daddy will take you outside, or I will hold your hand, or kids are going to be so grateful. And if you can get to a place of telling them what it might feel like to be those kids, that might be too much for him, actually, to handle.
Yeah.
But if you can address his fear, you might be able to say, no, that's not at all what's going to be happening,
mm-hmm.
or that's not at all who's going to be there.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Yeah, that's a good idea.
Okay. Great. And there was somebody else who said something. I don't know if that was a question. Any other questions before we say goodbye?
I had one suggestion, Betty.
Please.
My sister and my brother actually are kind of having a job situation right now, and they were saying, oh, you know, I feel bad. I can't get some gifts. I said, you know what? Do something with them. Like, take them to the park or do something with them that they don't really get to do at home, like painting or Play-Doh, things that sometimes I don't have time to do with them. So
I thought that
could be helpful.
There are so many great ideas that don't have to cost money. That's really the beauty, and it teaches kids. And for you as the parent to frame that and say, what a wonderful present that your auntie gave you. Because, look, you got to spend time together. That is so neat. And, you know, even if your kids are little and they don't really get the whole thing of it, they'll feel the energy of your words. Say it anyway, because someday they'll get it and they'll hear it, or you can say, wow, I remember the year, you know, even a few years from now, you can say, I remember the year that your aunt took you to the park and you guys played Play-Doh for your holiday present. What a neat idea that was. You guys had so much fun. And, again, you'll be teaching your kids values through those illustrations.
I tried that with Grandma, but it didn't work.
It didn't work. Well,
but with Auntie, it will.
With the Auntie, it will. You know, some things don't work with everybody. That's okay. I get that.
And we've done that with some people just as an extra idea to it, is to take digital pictures and print them off, even if it's just on regular paper, and make a little book and have them write about it as like a keepsake. And when they look back on it, it's even more meaningful.
Love that idea. Incredible. Well, I'm going to say thank you all so much for participating and being a part of this today. I am going to email a quick survey just to ask for any suggestions you might have for the future. And again, thank you all so much for being here.
Thank you.
Have a great day.
Bye.
Thanks, Betty. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Thanks, guys.
Thank you so much, Betty.
Thank you so much.
This is Catherine DeMonte.
Oh, hi, Catherine. I'm so glad you're here. I didn't know you were
there
on the line. Awesome.
I am. Yeah, I got in a little late because I couldn't get my computer to go, but that was wonderful.
Oh, thank you so much.
Well, thank you so much.
Hi, Betty. Thank you so much. It's Noelle. It was great.
Oh, thank you, Noelle. I appreciate. Glad you were here.
It was fantastic.
Thank you.
I will talk to you soon.
All right. Take care.
You too.
Bye.
Bye-bye.